1 John chapter 5. Begin there in verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. I hope this morning we can look at victorious faith. Many people, I've had the opportunity during this last week or two trial we've had in this local area to speak to several people. And the topic of faith has come up often. And victorious faith has come up a few times. And I hope we can see what victorious faith is and who the believer's victorious faith is. Now, every believer that's born of God, that has a new spirit born in them, they overcometh the world. That means they have overcome the world. Right now, they're overcoming the world. And they will ultimately overcome this world. This body of death will be passed from us. Now, in verse 5, John asks this question that many who hear this for the first time, that they will ask too. He says, who is it that overcometh the world? Who are these people? Is this me? Is this you? Those that overcome the world are those that believe Jesus is the Son of God. How do we do that? In verse 4, he says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, our faith. Our personal faith. What belief and trust that you and I, as humans, muster up. What we think is faith. That is not what victorious faith is. The object and the source of our faith, Christ Jesus the Lord, he's the victor. He's the one that's victorious. He has overcome the world, and believers that are made one with him, we too, as he is, are victorious in overcoming the world. We've looked at this word world a few times lately. But what John is referring to in our text here, this word world means all depraved men and women, born of Adam's corrupt seed. It refers to our flesh, this earthly nature we come in from our mother's womb. Every human that has, is, or will ever be alive, except those that God has done work in. Those that are born of him. Except those that are born of God. Those that the Lord makes overcome. Now throughout the scriptures, God refers to the world as evil, wicked, proud, terrible. It says that it hates God and loves itself. That all their thoughts are only evil continually. We drink iniquity like water. He told us in Isaiah 13, I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity. See, there, he uses the word there. It's not a physical world. It's a people he's talking about, humans. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. This is the world that our text says that believers have overcome. That's me. The whole world is constantly being tricked by the devil. There in Revelation 12 it says, the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth and his angels were cast out with him. That's where he walks to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. Every person that you and I know that does not believe on Christ, in spirit and in truth, they're being deceived by the devil. The majority of people walking the streets, they think that they know God. They think that most other people that they know God. But the majority of people no God. But our Master said, O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee. Many people think they can figure out the Scriptures on their own, or salvation on their own, or that they can know the mind of God on their own. But we can't know God through our own wisdom. We can only know Him through Christ, who is our wisdom. So Paul wrote to the Corinthians and said, For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. Our intellect can't help us. Look over to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. In man's natural state, the way we're born, and our evilness and our wickedness, being constantly fooled by the devil, we're just content in thinking that we know what's best. The world makes its own religion out of anything except Christ. Christ alone. In our natural born, our physical birth, we add to the gospel of Christ, we take away from the gospel of Christ, or we twist the gospel of Christ. That's our nature. It puts all the glory on the human and their will. Whether it's under the guise of religion or if it's in the absence of religion. Now, the religion of the world is anything except Christ. Now, outside of organized religion, it's called philosophy. And inside of organized religion, that lifting up of man, the Scriptures call that vain deceit and will worship. Look here in Colossians 2, verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world. All these things are of the world, and not after Christ. Well, look to the signs, look to the universe, look to the weather, the Mother Nature, Lady Fortune, all those things. Look to you and your vanity. You can do something. Traditions of men, wear these robes. Go to church, read the Bible every day. You got to do something. After the rudiments of the world, that's the works of the world, and it's not after Christ. Look here in verse 9. For in Him, in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him. What's the world say? You're not complete in Him. You got to do something. You got to get holier. You got to think this. You got to pray this prayer. That's not complete. You can get more sanctified. Complete. Ye are complete in Him. It's not as though. I've heard that many times. Oh, it's as though Christ was made sin. It's as though we were justified. There's one time in Scripture it says as though. Look here in verse 20, Colossians 2:20. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why? As though, as if. Living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? We're not. Touch not, taste not, handle not, which are all to the perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men, after that philosophy and that vain deceit, which things have indeed a show of wisdom and will worship. It looks wise, looks like they're doing the right thing in those traditions of men, but it's in will worship and in humility and neglecting of the body. They whip themselves and, oh, I can't eat that. I can't drink that. Not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. Let's look back here in our text in 1 John. Let's look at chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Here we see what the desire of this world, the people born into this world is, and all who have not yet been called to know Christ. This is our flesh. 1 John 2:15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, everything in this physical world we walk on, the lust of the flesh, that's living to please ourselves in comfort, in food, in pleasure, in riches. Try to get all you can and can all you get. The lust of the eyes. The lust of others to see us, to see what a good job we're doing, how much power we have, how much control we have over our own selves. Well, I've got discipline. I don't do those things. I refrain from those things. But they want to be seen of. Lust of the eyes. And the pride of life. Our self-righteousness. Every bit of that is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away. Ever all that's going to be gone, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God, he that's born of God, he that believes Christ, loves the brethren, abideth forever. This is what's wrong with the whole world around us today. It's the result of the corrupt heart we're born with. Everything going on in our society right now. The root cause isn't a person, it's not a party, it's not a way of thinking, it's not a history, it's a heart. That's the problem. This is not of the Father, but is of the world. So Paul wrote to Timothy, said, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves." Goes on to say, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness. It looks righteous. It looks like it's correct. But denying the power thereof, Christ the power of God. From such, turn away. Run from it. These born of God in the Spirit are constantly at war against our worldly flesh and the world around us. That's a great conflict. And if I don't have the world around me, if I ignore the world around me, if I go build a log cabin way up in Colorado and sit by myself, that war's raging inside of me. Because I'm living in this flesh. That seed was planted in this old wicked body. If it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived. If it were possible. Boy, ain't that good news. I could be tricked. I may buy a car with a blown engine. I may buy a house with a roof that leaks. But I can't be deceived from Christ. Ain't possible. And this is the great temptation to our flesh. The world would attempt to get us to practice its traditions. Fundraisers, bake sales, ceremony. Fancy wording. I got called this week for a local place that encouraged us all to go camping or something. They have some kind of Christian service they're providing. Of course, it costs money. And they said they could use it. And I said, I bet. The world attempts to get the believer to compromise on the gospel. Maybe just smooth the edges out a little bit. Maybe not say limited atonement so much, or don't talk about blood so much. Maybe just talk about the good things. Smooth the edges. Be more inclusive. Maybe you should have more things for the children to do. Something to entertain them. Maybe you can talk about current events more, and that'll get more people to come. They try to convince you. Compromise. You can't compromise. You can compromise on anything in this world. Never compromise on the gospel. Believer can't turn from it. And most of that line of thought comes from the world thinking that the true gospel of Christ is old-fashioned. They've grown and they've matured past these things that were of years ago. Those things that are declared in the Scriptures. The picture that shows Christ in marriage, Him marrying His bride. That's old-fashioned. We've grown past those things nowadays. Or the condemning of sin that brings reproach on this gospel. There's things we shouldn't do. We don't want to do as believers. It's all, that's old-fashioned. We've grown past that. We have to be accepting nowadays. And the world may think that they agree with you. They may tell you they agree with you. Subtly. Oh, no, we believe the same thing. Just go along to get along, right? So those that overcome the devil, those that overcome our own spiritual ignorance, the world's will work religion, all their philosophy, all that vain deceit, the lust of the world, the lust of our own depraved heart, overcoming all of that is not ourselves overcoming that. We didn't do that. It's Christ in us that does that. The only way a sinner overcomes the world is by being born of God, by being given a new heart, a new spirit in them. There in verse 4, in 1 John 5:4 says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world." You have to be born to overcome the world. Let's look over in Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. We saw in the message Wednesday, man has nothing to contribute to our spiritual birth any more than we contribute to our physical birth. To be born of God is to be born of God alone. He does it. We are sinners with no ability to rebirth ourselves. Look here in Titus 3, verse 3. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior towards man appeared. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Every sinner that God regenerates comes into the world loving the world and hating God like every other sinner. So Paul said, just as some of you, just as we were, every one of us, God alone makes the difference. So Paul told us there in Ephesians 2, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath He quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Grace is His work, by His hand. We're born of God, we're given a new spirit, and we have the love of the Father put in us. It is perfected in us. Paul said there in Romans 5, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. We didn't earn it. We didn't work our way into doing that. We didn't learn our way into doing that. We're given that new spirit put in us. And then, in that new spirit, God teaches us the truth in that new man. Corinthians 2:12 says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. He puts a spirit in you. He teaches that spirit. And He says, here's everything I've done for you. And we rejoice in Him for doing it, don't we? And that good news is preached to a believer. The Lord Jesus, our prophet, gives us the Word of God, that incorruptible seed, making us be born again, separating us out from the world by the truth of the gospel. And He continually prays for us that faith given to us, His faith, fails not. He provided the gift of faith that we're justified by. And He prays, Christ prays, that our faith that He gave us does not fail. People say, how's your faith? It was from Christ, and He prayed that I'll keep it forever. I think it's fine. It's His faith. It ain't mine. He's given it to us. So we cannot boast. The new birth is of God alone, by the Spirit of God, by the Word of God, by Christ, who is our prophet, who Himself is the truth, who Himself is the victor, who Himself is our faith. And back here in our text, 1 John 5, the victory believers have is our faith from and in Christ, our victory. Trusting Him alone to save us. Trusting that when He said, it is finished, that He was telling the truth. It's done. It's completed. At the end of verse 4 there, it says, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even there is italicized. Here's the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Christ, our faith. As soon as John speaks of our faith, he speaks of the object of our faith, Christ our Savior. There in verse 5 says, who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Now what does it mean to believe that Jesus is the Son of God? It's to believe the record that God has given concerning His Son. Believe everything that the Lord told us in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, in the epistles. Everything His Word declares Christ is. You believe the record of Christ. What He said. Look there in verse 11. 1 John 5:11. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. When you believe Jesus is the Son of God, then you believe God's Word, that God's salvation is the Lord Jesus Christ and is only in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's all. He's our only hope. He's our hope of glory. When we believe in Him, when we believe on the Son, we believe God's sovereign electing grace in Christ. Among all this evil, this murderous world we're living in, this wickedness that the world's made up of, there are some, out of all that, God chose in Christ before the world was made. Now, we don't only love and believe the doctrine of election. We love and believe the God of election. Not just that God chose a people. It's not just that, everybody's bad and I'll take these. He chose us in Christ. He chose Christ first. He said, this is mine elect, my firstborn. And in Him, we're elected. We're chosen in Him. When we believe on the Son of God, we believe that all righteousness is in Christ. When we were enemies of God, anything but righteous, at enmity with Him, the Son of God came in human form, made like us, and He represented His people as our head. And by His obedience, we are made the righteousness of God in Him. He is all. He's all my righteousness. John 16:33 says, these things have I spoken to you that ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Oh, how am I going to get through this world? You've got to overcome. You've got to rise above. Pick yourself up by the bootstraps. All this bad stuff going on around us. All these trials we got. You're going to have trials. Christ said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. John's telling us that me and you, we've overcome the world. How? Christ overcome. We're one with Him. Put in Him before the foundation of the world. The Spirit of God bears witness in our new spirit that salvation is in Christ alone, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, so that we glory in Him alone. That cuts out everything. Anything we can stand on. It's in Him. Faith is the victory because the faith that God gives His children is to trust Christ, who gives us victory through His blood and His righteousness on that cross at Calvary. Paul told us in 1 Corinthians 15, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He also told the church at Galatia, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. We quote that a lot. Think about that. This world's dead to me and I'm dead to it. What's that mean? I can go out and talk to anybody and be friendly with them, get along good with them. And then, well, what do? I'm a pastor. Where's that? What do y'all preach down there? And I start telling about who my hope is, who my faith is. And boy, you talk about turning a conversation. That transaction is expedited. They bring me up fast. I'll get out of there quick. Changes things. Why? I'm dead to them. That's just foolishness. And the world's dead to me. What if I got everything? What if I gained the whole world? And I was a rich man and powerful and made all these executive decisions and the world looked to me and just praised me. Every day was wonderful. Gained the whole world and lose my soul. What's that? I don't want the world. I want Christ. I want to be found in Him. That's what I want. And this world's dead to me. I've said this multiple times to you, but believe on Christ. If you haven't believed on Him, and you shall overcome the world. Turn to Him. Run to Him. Look to Him now. And I pray that I stand up here and say words. I can't tell you anything that could help you of myself. But the Lord makes His word effectual. And I pray that He just use me as a tool and plant that incorruptible seed in His child and make it grow and water it. Something that's happened, all that seed work happens underground. We don't see it, do we? We see the results of it. We see the fruit coming out of the ground. All that heart work. I pray the Lord would use that and draw His children to Him. They may overcome this world. But now through overcoming the world, through faith in Christ, that He provides as that free gift to His elect. We read in Revelations 2 or 3 what we're given. I'll just summarize it for you quickly. But there's seven things. You go home tonight, read through Revelation 2 and Revelation 3. It always says, and those that have ears, hear. He tells us seven things. That's the number of perfection. Seven things we have in overcoming this world. Christ overcoming the world for us. First, we have eternal life. We live in Him forever. We have no condemnation. Christ Himself, we have Him and His name. He talks about that white stone on a ring. And there's a name that only the one that has it knows what's written in it. That's a diamond. That's a wedding band. When a bride marries a husband in this, well, hopefully in this day and age, they take their man's last name. They take his name. We're his bride. He gives us his name. We have power with Christ to judge the world. Christ will be our righteousness and our advocate in the day of judgment. Oh, that's wonderful. Face the holy throne of God in that final day. What do I have to stand in? Christ, my righteousness. What if I can't say that? He's my advocate. He says it for me. He says Christ makes His church and His city. He builds it. That ain't on our shoulders. He uses us, puts us to work in the furtherance of His gospel. But He draws His children. He builds His holy city. We have glory with Christ as joint heirs. Eternal inheritance. Joint heirs with Christ as the sons of God forever. Brethren, guard your hearts. Don't let this world be a rival to Christ and His gospel. Don't let the things, pleasures, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, don't let that overcome you. Cling to Him. Paul said there in Romans 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you may present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's our reasonable service. When we see all that He's done for us, we just want to be with Him. We're only pilgrims. Turn over to Philippians chapter 3 and we'll close. Philippians 3. We're only pilgrims sojourning through this land. I told you before about Brother Scott Richardson. He was in a motel and somebody came to visit him. And a picture on the wall was crooked. And they said, Scott, ain't that driving you crazy? Like, straighten that picture up. And he said, I'm only staying here tonight. I don't care if that picture's crooked. We're only staying here for a lifetime. Just one. It don't matter if these pictures are crooked. Brother Clay used to say, we're just passing through a bad neighborhood. You ever take an exit? You're heading to a nice place. You're heading to paradise, vacation. And you stop to get gas. And you're like, ooh, I better fill up quick and get out of here. That's what this life is. We're just passing through. Look here in Philippians 3, verse 20. Philippians 3:20. For our conversation is in heaven. That word means citizenship. That's where our passport is. That's what has claim on us. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We look to His coming, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. Brother Mike read, that fervent heat will come, and it'll melt all the gold that men can stack up. Those elements will be consumed. There won't be no elements left. It'll all be gone, and He'll come in that cloud thunderously. And this old vile body, this old flesh that's me, is going to be done away with, and I'm going to be conformed to His image. Be made like Him. Be allowed into His presence. Be able to worship Him truly. be able to preach truly, be able to pray truly for Him, and He'll subdue all things unto Himself. That sounds victorious. I think He's our victorious faith. He's overcome the world. And if you believe on Him, run to Him, cling to Him. Don't let anything of this world get in your way. And through Him, we overcome the world too. Because our citizenship's with Him and His kingdom. Amen. Let's pray together.